All right, welcome to our Christmas service. Welcome to those of you who are joining right now and you're watching me on a screen, Savannah Oaks Middle School at our Fitchburg site, and for those of you across the hall at Traditions, and of course, those of you who are with me in the room right now. So welcome to Black Hawk Church, our Christmas service. My name is Chris, I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Black Hawk Church, and I just love Christmas so much. So let me say Merry Christmas, and then you shout Merry Christmas back, okay? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, that was really, really awesome. They're good. Really, really great. So I love so many things about Christmas. I love the music at Christmas. I love those Christmas carols. So many things in life change, but those carols, they like stay the same. And that just, I don't know, there's something about carols. I just love to hear those. I love decorating. I love the fact that our family gets together. Our son lives in Michigan. He teaches at Western Michigan University, and he drove back. And of course, our daughter lives just a couple of miles away here in Madison, and her husband. And last New Year's Eve, they had a baby, and that means that this is the very first Christmas I get to be a grandpa at Christmas. So I'm like looking forward to that. Let's hear it from all the grandparents in the room right now. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. So you guys want to see a picture of? No, I can't show you a picture of myself. Okay. Here's my grandson, Silas, right there. He's awesome. Isn't that awesome? He's ready to snowblow Grandpa's driveway right now. There you go. He's going to be doing a lot of that. Trust me. There you go. So I love the fact that we sing different kinds of music this time of year, decorating. Love the family getting together. And you know what? I'm just be honest with you. I love getting gifts. I mean, you know, there you go. Call me selfish. I don't care. I just love getting gifts. I got a gift the other day, and I got this gift, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to open that. Here's the gift right here. A one-pound gummy bear. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is more funny. The person who gave that to me is a doctor, okay? Right. She wants to see me as a patient, I think. There you go. So, but I haven't touched it. It's under the tree, and I can't wait until Monday, so we can open it up. I love getting gifts, but I'm not really, well, that's an understatement, I'm not good at all at giving gifts. I don't like have that gift, you know, to give gifts. I'm just too selfish of a person. Praise God for my wife, because she's like not the selfish person, so she actually thinks about what the other person might want and, you know, has a really creative kind of tack that way. But me, I'm just like, buying gifts, I'm just challenged to do that. So those people that are close to me in my life, they know that about me. And they know every Christmas, they're going to get the same thing from me every Christmas. And this is what they get right here. A gift card. A gift card. And they know that they're going to get a gift card. The question is, like, how much is the gift card going to be? And, like, from where is the gift card? And that's the only mystery of getting a gift from me if you're, like, in my world. Christmas shopping to me is about the easiest thing you could possibly imagine. I go into Target or Walmart. I see one of these gift card trees. Works for me. And I just start going through my list of people. Oh, yeah, they'd like this. They'd like this. They'd like this. And so there you go. Let me ask you a question. All sites and venues. If you've ever bought a card off of one of those trees, raise your hand. Okay, more selfish people. I love it. Yes, it's just the easiest thing in the world. And you just think, oh, there you go, gift card. The problem with gift cards is we forget that we have them. You know, like the other day, I was at Starbucks, and like I had a Starbucks card. You know, not this one. I'm actually going to give this one away. But another Starbucks card. And I bought my coffee. And then as soon as I kind of walked down to the, you know, end and kind of waited for it to be done, I looked at my wallet and there was a gift card. I like completely forgot about it. Gift cards don't make a big impression on people. Somebody gives you an iPhone 10, that's going to make an impression on you. But like gift cards, they're just easy to forget. And it reminds me of Christmas. Not the holiday. I mean, that's hard. That's impossible in our country to forget. But what I mean by that is that there is a gift that is the center of the whole holiday. I mean, the whole, you know, holiday comes from the word holy day. That's the whole idea here. That we're supposed to set aside a day to remember like the big gift. But we're so busy and we're so frantic, we actually forget about the big gift. And the big gift is God gave his son. That's the whole baby in the manger. He gave his son to us so that he could be with us. That's the big gift. It's not a mystery. We've all heard that before, but it's like a gift card. We forget about it. So what I want to do today is just to remind us of that which we all probably know about. It's the big gift. So if you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. If you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. We're going to provide the verses on the screen, or pull out your smart device and you can follow along with me. There are two birth narratives about the birth of Jesus in the Bible. One is in Luke and the other one is in Matthew. We'll read about the birth of Jesus as it's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's the big gift. That's the one we tend to forget. God gave his son, why? So that God could be with us. Someone once said those are the three most powerful words in the entire Bible. God with us. And that's what that name means. Emmanuel. If we were Hebrew readers, when we saw that name, it would be obvious what the name means. But we're not Hebrew readers, so we have to have it translated for us. But I want to do something today. I want to teach you guys a little bit of Hebrew, okay? Want to learn some Hebrew? Here we go. Here's the word Emmanuel in English. Sometimes you see it spelled with an E, or sometimes it's with an I. If it's spelled with an E, the translator is working off the Greek text. If it's spelled with an I, the translator is working off the Hebrew text. So we're working off the Hebrew text today. So Emmanuel. The Hebrew reads like this. So those squiggly letters right there are Hebrew. We read from left to right. They read from right to left. And those are, it's actually two words, and it's translated this way. You pronounce it this way. Im, Anu, El. So you read from right to left. So let's all read Hebrew together. Ready? Here we go. Im, Anu, El. Say it a little faster. Im, Anu, El. That's Emmanuel. So here's the translation. Im is their word for with. It's a very common word, you guys. It occurs all the time in Hebrew. It's with. And anu is that there's a suffix up there after, there's a suffix. It's the first person plural in the objective case. It's how they tell their verbs. Anu, and then El is their word for God. It's a very common word, El. It occurs in words Daniel, Ezekiel, things like that. Im, Anuel. That's how you'd say it in Hebrew. One more time for Hebrew, all right? All Hebrew readers reading together, Im, Anuel. That's Emmanuel. And it literally means you with us is God. That's what I'm talking about. I only just want to talk about three words today. God with us. It's a pretty simple message. God. When the Bible talks about God, The Bible is talking about a being that we cannot possibly fathom. It's hard to define God, but a philosopher from Oxford University, a guy named Richard Swinburne, tried to do it with this simple phrase here. God is a person without a body, that is spirit, who is eternal, is perfectly free, omnipotent, omniscient, perfectly good, and the creator of all things. And there's a lot of depth right there, and I would love to kind of talk about what Professor Swinburne says there, but I'm not going to do that. When the Bible speaks about God, you don't have to remember that definition, you just have to remember the Bible is speaking about the being who created this right here. That's a very famous shot in astronomy. It's the deep field shot from the Hubble telescope. And the Hubble telescope is basically looking at a very, very thin slice of the night sky. And then you magnify it, and you see all of those lights. Now, those lights, most of those lights are not stars. They are galaxies. And each galaxy has like billions of stars in it. And that's just a little thin slice of our night sky. So when the Bible uses the word God, the Bible is talking about the being who created that. So like, awesome. That God wants to be with us. All right, here's the three words. God with us. Second word, with. With, in the Hebrew, means with. It means with. It means like next to you, somebody like you're connected to. Some of us are sitting with someone. Some of us came with someone. With means that we're connected in some way to that person. Now, of course, today in our world, we are the most connected people who have ever lived on the planet Earth. We can be actually connected to people who are not physically present with us because most of us have one of these things right here. And this can literally connect us to people on the other side of the globe. So I'm going to do something today for the Christmas talk. Everybody, pull out your smart device right now. Pull out your iPhone or any kind of smartphone that you've got. Half of you had them out doing social media already. The rest of you, pull them out right now. And we're going to play a little game. We're going to play the game here in this room and at Fitchburg and in Traditions. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to, don't do it yet, we're going to text someone. I want you to text someone that is not in the room. They're not in the building. They're someplace else. And you want to figure out who you can text by figuring out who's probably going to be sitting on their phone and will text me back right away. Because the person who gets texted back first is going to win a prize, all right? Both in this venue and at the Fitchburg venue and in Traditions. So I'm going to give you a phrase. So figure out who you're going to text, okay? Who's like laying on their phone right now, okay? So here you go. Okay, you got that person in mind, okay? Pull them up, okay? Now here's the phrase you're going to text. Listen, everybody, listen, listen. Do not send this text yet. Just type it out. Because we all have to send it at exactly the same time, okay? Here's the phrase, don't send it. Merry Christmas, how are you doing? That's the phrase, okay? Don't send it. Now just stop for a second in this room. Okay, I'm going to hand it off to the pastors in Fitchburg and Traditions. You guys can run the game from there. All right, we're all here in this room right now. All right, you got the phrase? Merry Christmas, how are you doing? When I say send, then send it, okay? Don't send it yet. And then the first person that hears back, yell Merry Christmas. You win the prize, all right? Count of three, ready? One, two, three, send. Somebody yell Merry Christmas. Got a Merry Christmas right over here. Who said Merry Christmas? Who said it? Did somebody say Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
Okay, we got one right here. Who said it? Okay, good, good, good. So, what's your name? What is it? Haley? And you heard back from? Aaron, and he's where? He's at home. Where's home, like Madison? Okay, good. We have a prize for you. What do you think we're going to give you? We're going to give you a gift card. What do you think we're going to give you? Here you go, a gift card. That's $10 for Culver's right there. Awesome. There you go. Awesome. All right, there you go. Let me invite the other venues who are not with us back. Okay, welcome back, Fitchburg and Tradition. So I hope you guys had fun with that. So this is what's going to happen in All Sites and Venues. You guys are going to start hearing back from your friends right now, okay? So as you hear back, then text back, can't talk, crazy Pastor Chris, hashtag crazy Pastor Chris or something like that. And there you go. So here's the deal. Researchers tell us that even though we are more connected now than any group of people who've ever lived on the planet, we are the most lonely people. And we are people who are struggling with depression. Actually, this has really kind of just spiked recently. And it's kind of, sociologists and psychologists are correlating it with the 2007 advent of the smartphone. One of the psychologists at the University of California at San Diego wrote a book about this called iGen. She says, the sudden sharp rise in depressive symptoms occurred at almost exactly the same time that smartphones became ubiquitous and in-person interaction plummeted. That seems like too much of a coincidence for the trends not to be connected, especially because spending more time on social media and less time on in-person social interaction is correlated with depression. Now, Jean Twenge is not anti-iPhones, you guys. She teaches an undergraduate school. She's totally into all this, but she's saying, warning, everybody, warning. And those of us on the teaching team know that people are going through struggles, perhaps today like no other time. And so the next series we're going to do is on struggling. It's called The Struggle is Real. Watch this.
See, we are broken people living in a broken world, but I'm reminded that seeds first have to break in order to grow. See, everything that is in the tree was already in the seed. It just had to go through a process. I guess that's why God specializes in using crucifixions to bring about resurrections. In order to get to destinations, you sometimes have to go through a process of directions. See, the struggle is real, and I'm sure we all have highlight reels. The struggle is real, but so is God, and He has highlight reels. We can take solace in the fact that we serve a Savior that knows how our suffering feels.
The struggle is real. That series doesn't start on December 31st, right? No services on December 31st. It starts on January the 7th. The struggle with anxiety, then the struggle with grief, the struggle with greed, with depression, with lust, and with work. We hope you guys join us for that struggle series. Okay, the three words I'm focusing on today, right? God, with, and the last one is us. And that's us. That's like the real us. It's not the Instagram, Facebook post us. It's the, like, the real us. The us that has secrets that you would never, ever share with anyone else. The us that struggles deeply. God is such a loving God, He wants to be with us, the struggling us. Well, how can God, the creator of all things, be with us? Well, that birth narrative gives us a clue to that. Let's go back to that passage. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. And then it's the Emmanuel phrase. In order for God, the great creator God, to be with us, super messed up people, He has to do something about our stuff, our sins. He has to, like, remove our sins. And only God can actually do that. So He sends His Son. And His Son is going to grow up. and his son is going to bear all of our sins on a cross. And then that removes our sins. And so God can be with us. And some of us are thinking, now just a second. If this God's like a loving God, why can't he just like overlook our sins? I mean, if loving people are supposed to do that with each other, right? We're supposed to overlook problems that each other has. Well, why can't God do that? God can't do that. There's a lot of things God can't do. That's one of the things he can't do. He can't overlook our sins because there's a wiring in God. He knows more than we do how messed up these sins make us. So he can't just overlook them. It'd be like this. A couple weeks ago, I had to go into the UW clinic for a simple little procedure. I'm all right, but I had to kind of go through a little procedure. As you get older, these things happen more. And they were going to stick a little scope down my throat called an endoscopy to kind of look at my esophagus and my stomach. I'm okay. As they kind of wheeled me into this room, and I was kind of laying on my side, and they're about ready to explain to me how they're going to actually do this, these nurses and this doctor, they're wonderful people, and they start to tell me this is what's going to happen now. Okay, now, what I'm going to say now didn't happen, okay? This didn't happen. I'm just making this up. Let's imagine that as the doctor is explaining that she's going to stick this scope down me, as she's showing me the scope, she all of a sudden sneezes on the scope. And then she kind of wipes it like this, and then she goes, and Chris, I'm going to take this scope, and I'm going to push it down your throat. Now, would a doctor ever do that? The answer is no way. I mean, a doctor would sneeze for sure. But I mean, if they sneeze on a scalpel or something like that, they are never going to put that in the patient because there's a wiring inside of doctors that they learn. And they're trained to say, no. There are so many germs on that. We've got to get another one. God's like that doctor. Our sin is like that, this is gross, that snot on that skull. And God says, in order for me to have a relationship with you, I got to get rid of that stuff completely. So he sends his son, and that little baby grows up, and that baby dies on a cross. And when that man, Jesus, dies on a cross, he's like absorbing all of our stuff into himself. When he dies, and then we place our faith in Christ, that sin is completely removed. And now God can be with us. That's the big gift. And that's an amazing gift. And it's a gift that we can't even imagine to fathom. But we forget it. So this Christmas, we don't want you to forget about the main gift. So at Black Hawk Church, all sites and venues, we're going to give you a gift. What do you think that gift is? A gift card. That's exactly right. We're going to give you a gift card. As you make it out of the building that you're in today, you're going to receive one of these as you go to your card. And it is a Hebrew phrase that every one of you can read now in Hebrew, right? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. It means God with us. And we want you to put this card someplace where you're not going to forget you have it. Put it by your computer. Put it on a mirror. Put it in your car. And when someone asks you, what's that about? You can tell them that it's about the big gift. It's about the biggest gift that we could possibly ever fathom. God with us. Don't forget it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for Christmas carols that bring back a flood of memories. We thank you for great food, and we thank you for food that maybe isn't so good for us. We thank you, Father, for family. We thank you, Father, for just the ability to get together and to enjoy one another's presence. We pray, Father, that you would help us as we exchange gifts, that we would not forget about the big gift that you so loved this world that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We thank you, Father, for that great gift. Help us not to forget it. We pray this in Christ's name, for the sake of his reputation. All God's people said,